Good morning. For those of you here brave enough to be in person, and those of you enjoying this from the comfort of your own homes, we welcome you this morning. This the winter where everything gets a rest. You know, the trees get a rest, the soil gets a rest. And as we're talking about fruit today, you know, the apple trees and the grapevines are out there. They're just sort of waiting, restoring, and ready to come and bear fruit again. But it's not that way with the fruits of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always bearing fruit through people. And that's what we're going to learn about today. So let's start out with our readings.
Our first reading is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Our second reading is from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 19 through 26. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred and discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This ends our lessons.
All right, please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to head out for children's church, feel free at this time. Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning and every day throughout our lives. And we thank you for being the good vine, you know, that we can bear fruit because of you. Let us stay connected to you, Lord, and hear from you as we hear your word today. Amen. All right, so fruit. I don't know, I'm maybe not the best to speak on this. I've always been sort of meat and potatoes kind of guy. I mean, fruit and vegetables are sort of optional for me. I don't know, you think about, you know, meat and potatoes, especially the meat, you know, a steak sizzling on the grill. My mouth is watering right now as I'm thinking about this. Summer, just waiting for those steaks on the grill, and then the smells of that as that starts to cook and to be fully converted, the amino acids, the proteins, everything like that, it starts to give off this savory scent that just draws us in. So the steaks on the grill, and of course, bacon. I mean, yes. Like I say, meat and potatoes, that's sort of me. It describes me in a number of ways. The other day after Bible study, we went over the Nutcracker, a bunch of us did together, to have lunch together and to eat together and to, you know, socialize. And it's a great thing, brothers and sisters in Christ like that. The waitress is taking everybody's order, and I'm last, and she'd already written down beef commercial before I spoke. She just knew. Okay, it's got meat, it's got gravy, it's got potatoes, it's got bread all in one. You just can't beat that. So as much as I would like to do an entire sermon on meat, and that might not be bad, today it's on fruit. And all three readings today dealt with fruit. I got this idea. I don't always know where I'm going with sermons. Now for the next 9 weeks I do, because we're going to take each fruit of the Spirit and then treat them individually. But what led to this is I took my mom to the grocery store. And I'm just thinking, oh, what am I going to preach on Sunday? I'm looking, and the first thing we see when you come in there is the fruit aisle. Okay, got it, God. I just sort of, here it is. So he works in different ways like that. And Thomas Grocery Market brought about this sermon series here. So fruit figured prominently in the people in biblical times. Of course, they ate meat and other things, but they had fruits, things like olives, grapes, and figs, those three especially, figured prominently in their diets there. And it's something they could relate to. And the examples of the vine, too, you know, if a branch is detached from the vine, it's just going to wither and die. You throw it in the fire. It has to stay attached to bear fruit, right, to have that energy from the vine. And an excellent example that we're going to hear about more in the gospel today. But starting out with Colossians here, Paul uses the example of fruit many times throughout his letters. And here we've got it for sure. He said, all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing. This gospel, this good news of Jesus, is traveling. It's making its way across the world, and it's bearing fruit. It's coming up with good things, okay? It's changing lives. That's the fruit of the gospel. One of the main fruits is that it changes lives. When a person hears that, think of a person that has no hope. They're just going through life, going through the motions. They don't really have any hope. And if you're out there and you're feeling that, hey, come on in and hear this. This is for you. It's for all of us. The hope that we have in Jesus, the hope that we have for this life and the lives that come, and the lives that are changed. You get to hear those amazing testimonies sometimes. Earlier this winter, we'd gone to Alexandria and the Adult and Teen Challenge Banquet, where these recovering addicts shared their stories, their testimonies, how they're living a life that we're going to hear about in Galatians here in a little bit, and not having a whole lot of hope. But all of a sudden, the good news, the gospel got to them and deep inside and changed them. And then they got a hold of sobriety, they got their lives back, and a beautiful change took place. And they have hope, they have peace, they have joy, they have all these things that they didn't before. Because the enemy seeks to crush that, right? And one way he can do it is through chemicals. When he gets these people addicted, he can just sort of crush any self-will, any hope that they have, things like that, the self-control, and they just become a slave to the chemicals and to the enemy. So it's not always chemicals. Of course, there's many things that he uses to try to separate us from God. And when we're separated from that vine, we can't bear fruit, right? And we got to be connected. We got to come back to him. So this gospel is bearing fruit and it's growing. Okay, the kingdom is growing. As people hear it, and they're converted to Christ. It's just a beautiful thing. And it needs support. So here he talks about how he's supporting these people as they're going out. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, you Christians, we have not stopped praying for you. To pray for them. To give them that energy at a distance. To refuel their tanks. Maybe you've had times in your life where you know someone has been praying for you. And you go, wow. Thanks. And you can sometimes feel those prayers that people are praying for you. And I would encourage you, yes, to pray for each other, 100%. If you have a brother or sister that's going through a tough time, pray for them, pray with them, pray over them. God just works through it in incredible ways. And it's a privilege to be able to pray for others. And definitely a privilege to feel the prayers of others, to know that you're being prayed for. You've got prayer requests, let us know. Okay, we have an intercessory group that gathers on Thursday afternoons, and we'll certainly pray over things. And it works miracles like you wouldn't believe. So he says, I've never stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you. Again, to fill someone up through prayer, right? With what? With knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Praying that you'll have knowledge of God's will. And yes, we need that because we have our human will, our human desires, but we seek to follow God's perfect will. And ideally, they'd be aligned where our will is his will. But our human side, of course, is going to try to draw us off, and the enemy for sure, away from God's will. So we have to be able to discern his will. Sometimes you're in a situation and you don't know what to do. Well, that's where you ask, you know, sort of what would Jesus do? Or what is God's will for this situation? What am I to do here? His good and his perfect will, right? Because God is right and his will is correct. And we need to be able to find that, especially when we're at a decision point. Do we go down one of two roads or one of four or five roads? Who knows? What is God's will in this situation? Pray for that. Pray for the knowledge of his will. So he says, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will so that you would know what God's will is and your life would reflect it. It would show it. And you'd be walking in God's ways through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, knowledge is good, but understanding is better. I always tell my students, we can know something, but if you don't understand it, that's different. Understanding is much more complete. You can transfer that knowledge to somewhere else. I always use the example, something like you can tell a second grader that the square root of 64 is 8. Now they know something. They know the square root of 64 is 8. You ask them what's the square root of 81, they'll have no idea because they don't understand the concept. If we fully understand it, now we can use it in all kinds of different things, right? So that understanding is very important. And spiritual wisdom, yes. Wisdom gained by experience, but also from God. Wisdom takes time to grow and to develop. So important things here, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Well, why is he praying this for people? Verse 10 is the answer. Here's the why. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. I mean, it goes on. There's about six different reasons when you take this apart here. But what really distracted me here in verse 10 and continuing on to 11 and 12 is my teacher herself wants to get my red pen out because, boy, does he have a run-on sentence here or what? Listen to this. Starting out, here's the sentence starts, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light, period. Okay? I don't know, some of you former teachers out here, would you be telling your students to break that into chunks? I would think so, right? So once I get past that, the Greek, the punctuation isn't really there. We have to sort of supply it. But yeah, there's so much in that long sentence there. Why? So that, one, you may live a life worthy of the Lord. May our lives point to him. May our lives be worthy in his sight, right? May we be living for him, not for ourselves. Two, to please God. Absolutely, we want to please him. We want to thank him for all the wonderful things he's done for us. Three, to bear fruit, it says here, so that we're going to be bringing it to others. We're going to be changing lives, changing the world, or he's going to be doing it through us, not us. Yeah, there we go. Thanks, Lord. But him through us, right? And we don't want to take the credit. That we would be strengthened. Yeah, we need to be strengthened in our faith if we're going to stand firm, especially in this world, in this time. We have to be strengthened by him, through him, right? Have endurance and patience. That was part of that long sentence there as well, that he's praying that these people would have endurance and patience. And yeah, that's something that you need prayer for, that endurance, especially in tough times, that you would be able to endure and to have that patience, which is also a fruit of the Spirit, we're going to find out, and to give thanks joyfully, right? To give thanks joyfully. That's why we gather here on Sunday mornings, but it should be throughout our lives to give thanks to God joyfully, thankfully, because of what he has done. So in these ways, then, the people would be built up so that they could go out and bear more fruit. He's praying for them so that God can do this through them. And let us be willing, cooperative people with God, right? Cooperate willingly with him. There we go. As he seeks to use us and guide us and direct us through his will into the plans that he has for each one of us. So again, to do this, we have to be connected to him. We have to be connected to him. Apart from him, we can do nothing, but we got to be connected to him. We have to have that, it's flowing into us. And that's where that vine example comes in, right? If we're connected to the vine, then the vine's going to feed the branches that are going to bear the fruit. Basic biology, right? You got the nutrients and the water from the soil. They're going to travel up through the xylem and phloem and such. They're going to get out to the branches, and then it's going to bear the fruit. And if you're disconnected, you can't do it. Okay, so we heard that in the gospel. Today, then, I am the true vine, all right? There are many other vines, I suppose, but he's the true one. He's the one we want to be connected to. And my Father is the gardener. That's a nice thought. That gardener is going to take care of the vine. He values it. He wants the best for it. He's going to dig the dirt loosely around it. He's going to make sure that it has adequate water, has nutrients, fertilizer, all those things. And to think that God's doing that for us, that's humbling. But he does more than that. He also cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Now, you can think of the branches of different people. You know, some are bearing fruit, others aren't. They're going to be cut off. You know, that's a sad thought, but true. But he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. We have parts of our lives that are not productive. And we have parts of our lives that are drawing the nutrients away from the good parts, the good branches that are going to bear fruit. We have branches in our lives that don't bear fruit. And if they're drawing those nutrients away, you know, those need to be cut off. And that's sort of a tough one. We have these things that we really like to do, but maybe they're not productive, and we have to let go of those things. Hopefully we already have many of them, but we're always going to have those temptations, right? It's always going to happen. But God will provide a way out, right? Remember when you're tempted. All right, well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. And this is out of caring, cutting away the unproductive parts so that it may bloom and produce more fruitfully. Again, so that'll be even more fruitful, saying the same thing there. Okay, alrighty. So that's just a thought for introspection. Are there parts of me that I need to cut out? Are there parts of my life that I need to set aside so I can be more fruitful for the kingdom and for God? Something to examine for sure. Alrighty, so we have to be connected to him. And he brings it sort of a step further. He says, remain in me and I'll remain in you. You go to the King James, it's abide in me and I will abide in you. To abide in him, to live basically in him. And that's just a beautiful way to put it. To abide in him and he will abide, he'll live in us. We're going to be sort of one with him. We're going to come together there. God in us and us in God. You know, Jesus says elsewhere later on, you know, I pray that they may be one as you and I are one. There's a oneness there that can happen. And that's definitely something that's beautiful and that happens. And when he is abiding in us, when he's living in us, when his spirit dwells within us, then we can bear all kinds of fruit. We can do all kinds of things. Going through our lives without even intentionally doing it, it's just who we are and what we do. A beautiful thing. All right, and to continue to remain in him, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away, withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown to the fire, and burned. Now, there's parts of us that should be thrown to the fire and burned, some of these other, you know, thoughts and desires and things. But let us always be fruitful, right? Let us always remain in him. Let us abide in him. It says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. Not just fruit, but much fruit. Showing yourselves to be my disciples. Okay, so we're to bear much fruit. What does this fruit look like? As I was pondering that and studying this with Jill yesterday too, I was asking, what does this fruit look like if we are bearing fruit? Well, part of it's bringing others to Christ for sure. If the gospel is to spread and grow, others must be brought to Christ. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So others have to be brought in, and he's going to do that through us. Being a force for good in the world. If you're bearing fruit, you're going to be a force for good. And there's a lot of evil forces at work in this world right now, of course. Always has been, always will be until the day Jesus comes back and everything's turned to perfection. But we are to stand firm, to be that force for good in the world. And not just standing firm. If we're just standing firm, we're holding the territory that we have. God seeks to advance the kingdom, right? We need to move forward. We can't just stand there, although we do need to stand firm 100%, but we need to advance the kingdom. We need to advance it against the forces of darkness. We need to advance against the evil out there. We need to advance it through the whole world that everybody may hear. Another way of bearing fruit, how it shows, is living a life that brings glory to God. It's not about self-aggrandizement, right? We're not building ourselves up. We're bringing glory to God. We're offering ourselves up that He can use us for His purposes in every situation, that He would receive the glory. We don't seek it for ourselves. We want to bring glory to Him. That's what's said in verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. All for Him. Another example would be doing good works. We had looked at that. You know, we said faith apart from works is dead in James. And there will be good works. Again, not to build ourselves up, but to build up the kingdom and build up others. That we will be doing good works because we've been changed. That's who we are now. Another example, bringing hope and healing to others. Hope and healing to others that need it in so many ways. Not just physical healing. Okay, we're talking emotional, spiritual healing, everything else. And by doing so, this shows that the Spirit is alive in us, that He is active and alive in us, that we are Christians, that we are doing these things. That's how a Christian ought to be defined, right? By what he or she does. Also, in addition to what they believe, because, again, the faith without works is dead. But we're doing it for the right reasons. And we're giving thanks because of the change that has occurred within us. And that leads us to Galatians, finally. The change that has occurred within us. This is a study in contrast, these verses here. It starts out, or Paul starts out listing the acts of the sinful nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. That's quite a comprehensive list. And hopefully not all those have applied to us in our past, but for each one of us, we look at that, and somewhere in there, we're going to find some things that we've fallen into. But this is contrasted then with the new us after we've given ourselves to Christ, right? The old is gone, the new has come. And we have been changed. And if someone's still caught up in those things, you know, hopefully they'll want to change, but pray for them. Pray for them that they will not have to stay that way. Paul uses a similar list in 1 Corinthians 6, and I just like the way that it concludes here. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11 is what it was. You got to get back there. Should have tabbed that one. Okay, we're getting closer. There we go. Okay, he goes through that long list, again, a very similar list of all these other things that people are doing. But it says, and that is what some of you were, but you were washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You no longer live that way. You no longer walk in those ways. We have experienced a life change because of what He has done in us. And we can't be thankful enough for that. So instead of these things, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now this is the fruit of the Spirit living within us, right? It's the Spirit's fruit. I can't say it's our fruit. We can't say it's our fruit. It's God's fruit through us and within us, through the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Laws are supposed to prevent us from doing bad things. I mean, God's laws, you look all through the Old Testament, all of His laws, to keep us on the right track. We're talking God's laws, not human laws, okay? We've actually got human laws out there now that are promoting things that are against God's laws. So, you know, don't get caught up in the laws of mankind here. This is God's laws. There's no laws against these things because they are good and they are desirable. And if you're hanging out with fellow believers, you should be surrounded by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The people should be exhibiting that. Because they've been changed, and that is now who they are. When they let the Holy Spirit work through them and live through them and to produce these kinds of fruits. already, there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature. Those old things, that old list is gone, right? I've been crucified by Christ, and I no longer live, but he lives in me, as it says in Galatians 2:20. So it's his spirit living in me that's bearing this fruit. We put aside those other things. They've crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Now, they're still going to rise. The temptations will still be there. But we can become sort of immune to it. Okay, this is like a vaccine in a good way, where these things no longer attract us. We've been remagnetized. The things that used to attract us now repel us, right? Because our magnetic poles have been switched. Because we are now letting the Spirit rule in our lives. He is living within us. We have given way to him. We follow him, all right? Those who belong to Christ Jesus, we belong to him, have crucified that sinful nature along with its passions and desires. It's been pulled up by the roots, all right? Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's just a neat way to think about it, too, keeping in step with the Spirit. If you're just marching in time with him, if you're marching as a part of a large group, there's a oneness there, okay? So keeping in step with the Spirit. If he speeds up or slows down, we're to follow. Just let him guide and direct us. So these fruits of the Spirit, again, not fruits of us. We don't take the glory, we don't take the credit, but we allow the Spirit to work through us, and he's going to use us to bear fruit, the fruits of the Spirit, his work in us. If his Spirit lives in us, it should show. So, Lord, we ask that you would just indwell each of us, and that we would yield, that we would let you to cut away the parts that need to be cut away, that we can be more like you. That we can be productive for the kingdom, that we can be bearing fruit, your kind of fruit, that it would show the world and give glory to you. Amen. All right.